Very often, I'm going to talk about the letter of James, but I just want to remark about this gospel here. This is Mark 9, as we start this Monday of the seventh week. The story of this boy who had a demon. Now, this is very often described, well, he was epileptic, as though these people know nothing. The gospel writers, the Word of God, knows nothing. You know, we know. This, by the way, it happens a lot. I brought you my son possessed by a mute spirit. Now, what has mute got to do with epilepsy? To begin with, nothing. Whenever it seizes him and throws him down and so forth. I mean, we don't see much of this in our culture because we lock everybody up like this, and so we can stay comfortable and not bothered by these sort of things. But in other parts of the world, Africa, even Israel, you see this all the time. And especially the Semites, there's something about that person, and you treat him with great reverence, and you know, because he's got some kind of spirit. And they know that. The little boys don't. They throw rocks at these people, but everybody else treats them with great kind of raw awe, you know, whoever, whatever, there's something, they're different. Then, when he saw him, the spirit immediately threw the boy into confusion, to convulsions. Is that epilepsy? When he saw him, the spirit did this. I'm just trying to help you realize that sometimes, with all our great historical work, we impose also our own lack of faith, our own lack of respect for the Word of God. The Word of God is telling us this. Huh? And then Jesus makes a mistake, you see. Mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out. And poor Jesus, he thinks there's a spirit there, see. I'm trying to expose something that can make it difficult for you to read the scriptures. That is some of the lesser commentaries. And then, and this applies, one of the reasons why we experts don't pick it up is here. Why could we not drive the spirit out? This kind can only come out through prayer. So you see, if we were all praying more, we would be open to this reality. In fact, it might happen to us that we'd be called upon to drive out a demon. And then it doesn't sound so make-believe. Jesus drove out this demon by the authority that is his, by being the eternal and living Son of God. Spirit, go out. And it went. Had to. And he did that a lot. Because he's a realist. You know, we talk about the gift of discernment. Jesus didn't have it. See, I mean, like, poor guy. See, he thought there was a demon there. But we know it's epilepsy. Do you see the arrogance? I'm not saying, you know, we all have to go back to the Middle Ages or something. I'm just saying, just read the text in faith. And understand that this ministry of deliverance and exorcism is a ministry of mercy. Many, many people are afflicted. Do you realize? As the faith of our environment goes down and down and down, there's just more free rein for evil spirits. And they're around. And they are enticing and destroying the young. Nearly every high school has this little covey of witches. Now they think they're playing games. I guess some of them do. But they're not. And they will get in trouble. Because there's nothing to defend them. Family life is weak. Friendships are weak. The preaching in the church can be weak. What's going to defend these people when they start playing games with it? And they know. They know there's something off here. They just want to play with, and that, like we all are, attracted by evil. It's just important to recognize this, my friends. No sense getting nervous or worrying about it. But be alert and pray for the youth. There are plenty of other people who get spirits too, you know. There are people out there promising them relief from their problems. There are shamans who guarantee them that they can channel energy right into them and make them better. There are mediums, most of whom are witches. This sounds like the Middle Ages, doesn't it? Well, it's not. And as I was reading this gospel, I just thought, oh, where is the reverence? Where is the gratitude? Where is the understanding? I mean, in me as well. You know, this is a theandric act. This is a work of God, become man, freeing this boy. And it's written here, you know, takes a lot of from Mark 9, 14 to 29, okay? That's lots of verses, 16 verses, dedicated to this in the gospel. And we run the risk of dismissing it because we're so smart. Well, look out. I'm not, you're not going to do this. But I mean, you could, see, when faith is weak in the church, when faith is weak in the home, when faith is weak among their friends, what happens to these people? And little innocent things that were wrong, but not terribly wrong, back 50, 60 years ago, now can get people into a lot of trouble. I mean, and if you talk to the fellows in the business, talk to the men who do exorcisms every day. I mean, lots of exorcisms. A close friend of mine called me up and said, there's a whole group of 12 people. They've all got themselves into this sort of mess. Can you come up and help me? Well, I couldn't at the time, but this, and they're tortured. But by the mercy of God, they're brought where they can get help. Pray for this. This is a reality. And when faith is strong, when faith is strong in the home, when there's prayer in the home, when the children are taught what it means to love and to forgive and to pray and to be generous with their friends, they're protected. And when it's all sort of some abstract stuff you do on Sunday, you know, because there might be something to it, or you know, or custom or habit, even devout habit, but that's all. And they're surrounded all day. Look at the television, look at the movies, look at the things the kids are experimenting with, you know, regarding spirits, regarding sex, regarding alcohol, regarding dope. Is it any wonder? And so we should pray. And read with faith. Understand, you see. And then it says, okay, all right, I'm ready. I want to help. And the Lord says, okay, this kind, only prayer. Now, the variant, you know, sometimes there are little extra things in the text or something. This kind can only come out through prayer and fasting, it used to say, remember? Well, that's because the scribe understood, you know, prayer means prayer and fasting. I mean, you just don't pray and then sit down to a turkey dinner and then get up and pray and then sit down to another turkey dinner and then get up and pray. I mean, you just don't do that. Prayer, part of prayer is a discipline. And so while it's technically not in the text, you have to remember for the ancients, fasting was always implied. And so pray. Pray today. Intercede for all those people who are being tortured by evil spirits, being driven. The ones who know they got a spirit are the lucky ones. The ones who are driven by anger and ambition and lust and cruelty and are running big businesses, they're the ones that we have to really pray for. They don't even know where they're heading. All I was going to say about the letter of James today is that wisdom is pure. And because it's pure, it's peaceable, gentle, compliant, I'm not sure I like that word, full of mercy and good fruits, without inconstancy or insincerity. That's wisdom. It's a beautiful, you see, it's pure. It only knows the truth and knows how to spot and reject error in thought, in emotion, in action. That's a gift.